Hallelujah. Praise God. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because we have a choice. Everyone turn to your neighbor. You got the power to choose. Choose right, not left. Oh, glory. You know, God does not force anything on us. Amen?
Amen.
But he sure brings it to our attention. Remember something very important. God does not have to answer us, but we have to answer to him. Has everybody got it? He does not have to answer me and you anything, but we must answer to him. Never lose that. Amen? God does not have to prove himself. Look around you. Amen? He doesn't have to prove himself. But we must all answer to him in everything we do. Everything. Amen? Even if you don't want to hear it, we're still accountable. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Glory. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Get one of these bottles that don't hold up, you know. Like some people I know. They can't stand. Glory. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Let's speak it. To everything there is a what? Season. A time for every purpose under heaven. In other words, there's a time and a season for everything. Everything. I want you to write this down. Anything out of God's time and season. Are you ready? Requires more preparation and maintenance. What does it require? More preparation and maintenance. Somebody may step into something and say, oh yeah, God told me do this, do that, whatever. And it ain't God. He ain't going to let it come to pass until there's more preparation and maintenance. That's why when we do things out of God's time and season, it takes actually longer to accomplish if it comes to pass at all. Are we okay? Cool. Verse 2. There's a time to be what? Born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to what? Embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, and that's something we're talking about today, false embracements. A time to what? Gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to shut up or keep silent, and a time to what? Speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, in a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its what? Time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the what? From the beginning. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is a gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it that man should what? Fear, honor, respect, amen, and reverence him. God does it that men should fear before him. Amen. Verse 15. That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires a what? An account of what is past. So again, nobody escapes. Amen. There's times and seasons. Anything that's out of God time, out of God's time or season usually ends up a mess. But there is more there's a requiring of more preparation and maintenance. In other words, when it's not God's time or season and somebody comes into covenant with something that's not of him, it takes more maintenance. Oh, all things work to the good. Well, who wants to keep working it to the good? Amen. We want it to prosper. It will not prosper. It takes a long time to reach that arena. Why? Because there's more what? Preparation, and then there's maintenance, if it even comes to pass. Is everybody okay? We are in this time right now. One of the things that the Holy Spirit said to me. Now, what also occurs here, he says, there's a time to embrace and there's a time to what? Refrain from embracing. In other words, times and seasons are known as cycles. Everyone say cycles. So there's a time when we got to let go of the old so we can grab hold of the new. Amen. So there, in this recycle, there's a time of recycle where we embrace and where we refrain from embracing. Everybody got it? And there are many who are right now, the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, I'm getting ready to do something. We talked about the cloud of glory and the cloud of judgment. And that was something I saw weeks ago. Cloud of glory and a cloud of judgment. And God is judging his people big time right now. I am telling you, he's judging his people big time. Why? Because he's getting ready to do something. You know, God's glory can kill you if you're not right. He'll kill you. That's why he waits. If God's glory was to show up right now, there wouldn't be a heck of a lot of people standing. First of all, we all flipping and flopping in the glory, having a good time. And some may be dead. 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. False embracements. Everybody there? Is everybody okay? Amen. Everybody wants truth, right? Amen. Praise God. It's what we do with it after we get it. We put it on the shelf, let it collect dust, or do we use it? We talk about it, or do we use it? In verse 1, let's speak it. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desires, which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this place which you have built to put my name there forever. Do you know that you are the temple of God, that God has consecrated to put his name there forever? Everyone say, I am that temple. Amen. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. In other words, he's always looking at you. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in what? Integrity of heart and in uprightness, that's right standing with God, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and judgments, then I will what? Establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. In other words, he can establish your heart is his throne. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me, everyone say follow, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? Anybody want to be hissed at? The only hissing that comes should be from a serpent, not from a person. Amen. And that serpent should be hissing because he's afraid of you, not because he can bite you. Verse 9. Everybody, you got this? All right, let's go. Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, which means bondage, and they have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Wow. So what occurred here is they did something. They did what? They embraced. Amen. They embraced. What did they embrace? Why? Because they embraced false gods. They began to serve all their gods. They had false embracements. Does everybody understand that? They were embracing things that were not of God. He told them, don't embrace it. What you embrace, you will manifest. What you embrace, you will manifest. Did you ever, it's like an absorption. Now, there's something that comes before embrace. It's called agree. You first agree, then you embrace, then it produces. Everybody okay? We are the temple. We are God's house. Amen. He said, look, don't embrace these idols. They're called false embracements. Why? Because what you embrace, you will manifest. Proverbs 4. Anybody ever embrace something that was hot and you didn't know it was? Ouch. Proverbs 4 and verse 1. False embracements. Let's speak it together, please. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to know what? Know what? Understanding. Understand. See, when people don't have understanding, many times they call it evil. Amen? And when they don't understand it, they go astray. Understanding is essential. People may know the truth and not understand it. They can speak truth and never even understand it. That's why they can't put it into practice. Verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and lonely, one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and what? Live. Get what? Wisdom, get understanding. What's wisdom? What does it do? Tells you what to do. What's understanding? Tells you how to do it. Verse 5. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Verse 6. What does it say? Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get what? Understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor embrace her. You what? Embrace her. What are you going to embrace? Wisdom. You're going to embrace what? Understanding. In God's presence. Too many people are embracing multiple things instead of what they're supposed to embrace. When you embrace something, you don't let it go. There's a bunch of tree huggers out there. They're embracing the wrong things. All those false religions and all these things are dancing with Buddha and everything else. Amen? And Buddha does not serve coffee. Hallelujah. And verse 8, exalt her, she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you what? Embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will what? Deliver to you when you embrace her. Again, wisdom tells you what to do. Understanding tells you how to do it. Let me ask you this. Is that a way of rescue? Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because many people don't even understand what they're embracing. They're blinded still. They don't get the understanding of where they're stepping into. And see where the Holy Spirit tells us things to come. He warns us, doesn't he? So it's the only thing, it's time that people started embracing the Holy Spirit. You know, it is a matter of life and death in these days. People are embracing the wrong things. Proverbs 5, verse 20. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman or man and be embraced in the arms of a seductress or seducer? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his what? Paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of what? Instruction. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Seductress men and women, or what we call idols. They idol. These are all idols because of it seduces. Everyone say seduces. Seduces. What happens is when something is seduced, it is engulfed. It is embraced. It is possessed. It is overtaken. Its senses no longer can discern. Everybody get this? Everything is nullified. And what happens now because they can't, they're overtaken and the senses can't discern or what they call judge. What happens is it brings an immoral character. It loses integrity. It's no longer standing upright before God. When a person is seduced in any way, and people get seduced by materialism, all kinds of things. They get seduced by music, begin to embrace ungodly music, and it seduces them. What it actually happens is it brands, it tattoos soul. It's an emotional, like a hook, anchor there. And it tattoos that part of the soul. And then what happens, it eventually becomes scarred until healing comes and it's severed. It becomes an emotional attachment. It's tattooed there. It's there. And it overtakes that person in every area. And that's where God is saying, look, it's time to stop living out of your soul and start living out of the spirit. Quit making soulish decisions. People are embracing things because of feeling instead of embracing things because of truth. Seduction, seduce. People are being seduced in multiple ways. In James chapter 1, false embracements. In verse 12, are we okay? You know, we've got to examine ourselves. What are we embracing? Amen? What are we embracing today? Let's speak at verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and what? Enticed. In other words, something is causing to draw, to bring a what? Agreement first. Amen? It's causing to bring a what? Agreement. It starts with a knock, nudge. Verse 15, that what happens. Then when desire has conceived, it gives forth birth to what? Sin. That means that's the presence of evil, which becomes embraced. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. Everyone say death. Again, it starts with a nudge, a knock, or a nudge, agreement, then the embrace. And of course, the end result is death until the embracement dies. Something must die first. The embracement must be destroyed. Embracing the presence of evil. Many people do it unknowingly. Look at the devil does not come up and warn you. The Holy Spirit does. And when you reject the Holy Spirit, you don't even know he left. You don't even know he left. Again, he announces his coming, but he never announces his leaving. You should know that if you're walking in the Spirit. Embracing the presence of evil is people don't even know it. They don't know it. The enemy is very deceptive. He convinced Eve to embrace him. The serpent did. Amen? I mean, she was in the glory of God. She had a glorified body. And the serpent seduced her, convinced her to embrace him. And the end result was death. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You're not hearing nothing you don't know already, I hope. But there's that area we got to be sensitive. What are we embracing? Again, it first starts with a knock or a nudge, agreement, then embrace. And then people begin to hold on to it, not even still know that they're embracing it. Let go! Kill that thing before you kill somebody. 1 Timothy 4, glory. Let's speak it, verse 1. We all know this. Now the Spirit expressly says, in a latter time some will depart from the what? Faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why? Because they're going to embrace them. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and they know the truth. In other words, they're going to be deceived. It's called the falling away. It's happening. Amen? It's happening. Deceiving is associated with seducing, bringing people into the doctrines of demons. In other words, these are demonic lies. False embracements, always trying to disqualify God's judgment, God's existence, God's purpose, and God's will. Everyone say, God is love. God is just. And his throne room is on justice and righteousness. So you can't get away with just God is love. Amen? Oh, he's love. He wouldn't do something like that. Really? You better read the word. God warns us all the time about what? Denying yourself. Why? Because if you're going to live for you, then you're going to lose it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are individuals. Now, you got to remember again, I want to emphasize that these letters were written to believers, not unbelievers. Can you imagine if Jesus showed up right now? Snap. There'd be a lot of snapping. But I didn't know. Don't matter. I didn't know. There's going to people give a lot of excuse. I didn't know. Oh, really? It's your responsibility to know. It's your responsibility to seek. It's not your responsibility to reject. It's our responsibility to find out. Amen? 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Take it. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we there? Hallelujah. For men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Why? Because they're embracing everything else and what they're supposed to. See, you can't, again, if you're embracing something that's unclean, it's not going to equal out because you want to embrace God. You must get rid of the unclean thing you're embracing. Everybody got that? It says here that they'll become traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of what? Godliness, but denying its power. And from such people do what? Turn away. Turn them away. End time embracements. That's what's happening right here. It starts with a knock, a nudge, an agreement, then an embracement, then a manifestation. These are what he was talking about, manifesting those things they embrace. They become what they embrace because it gets absorbed. Matthew 7, false embracements. Matthew 7, verse 24. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. This is Jesus speaking. This is warning. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a what? Wise man who built his house on the anointing, on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not what? Fall, didn't get moved. For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell in what? Great was its fall. So another place there, we must not only hear, but we must do. But when you hear, you see. Amen? And then you do. There's that area where understanding will come with trust. If you trust him and continue to follow him, he begins to release understanding. But you must ask for things. You have not because you ask not. Hear and do. Now, he's not looking for you to go out and do works. Amen? He's looking for you to learn and do the truth so that righteousness, the fruit of righteousness, is produced. In other words, depart from evil. Why? People are not departing from evil. They're embracing it. And this is end time stuff. Why? Because the word says that many people will fall. They will embrace evil. They will actually begin to hate God. Those who used to once walked with him. You know, I've seen some stuff. It's amazing to me. I was watching this interview with a well-known preacher. Huge congregation, TV and everything else. And they interviewed this person and asked him, they said, well, who are you going to vote for? He says, well, I'm not letting anybody know. He said, well, are you going to let your congregation inform them of anything? He said, no. He said, I'm going to let them do whatever they want. I said, what an idiot. Why? Because what you approve, you'll be judged by. There isn't a perfect one to vote for, is there? Only Jesus is the perfect one to vote for. But there is one that we've seen the fruits of already. Hello? There's one we've seen the fruits of already. The one that should be in jail. Because if you and I did that, we'd be gone, locked up forever. But that's part of the shadow government. That's part of the Luciferian agenda. So you don't want to promote a Luciferian agenda called Hillary. It's real simple. Hello? One government under Lucifer. That's what it's all about. So everybody got it? Fear, man, what an idiot. I'm telling you, okay? I don't care. I don't want blood on your hands or mine. Amen. Praise God. Philippians chapter 2. My heart sunk when I saw this. This man is well known. Right, a powerful preacher. And sitting on the news, being interviewed. He wasn't about to give nothing. Oh, I'm not telling my congregation. Bummer. What kind of leader or shepherd are you? Those are the ones that are hired. They sell a lot of books, promote a lot of emotion. They're willing to tell people the truth. Afraid of losing their congregation because they can't pay their big mortgage payments on the mansions they built. Anyways, I won't go there. Praise God. Praise God. Philippians chapter 2 is just for you. Verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and what? Trembling. So everybody's got to work out their own salvation. But there are people that don't even work it out at all. They want somebody else to work it out. Don't work that way. You must work it out. That means it's between you and God. You're accountable to him, and you're accountable every single day, whether you believe it or you don't. Again, he does not have to answer you, but you and I must answer him. Work out your own salvation with fear and troubling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without what? Grumbling and disputing, complaining, that you may what? Become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a what? Crooked. Why are they crooked? Because they're embracing the presence of evil. And perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Are you shining as the light because you're embracing the light? Or are you manifesting the fruits of ungodliness because you're embracing the presence of evil? Verse 16, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Work out your own. In other words, working out your salvation is allowing God, as you're cooperating with God and you're embracing the things of God. You know what's happening? Escape. Escape by following the plan of escape from death and hell. How do you escape? By following the plan of escape. It's called his will. Because you're embracing his will. You're embracing his truth. You're embracing his presence. Matthew 26. Cry out to him. Ask him. Call him. It's got a 800 phone number. Toll free. 1-800-G-O-D. Glory, glory. Matthew 26, verse 38. Is everybody there? Jesus said to them, my what? My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Stay here and watch with me. That means you got to be close. Embrace with me. Stay here. And he went a little further and fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, oh, my Father. No, verse, yeah. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as your. See, he was letting go of his will and embracing the will of God. Then he came to his disciples and found them what? Sleeping. You know how many people are sleeping these days? And I don't mean physically sleeping. I mean spiritually sleeping. You know what causes you to sleep? False embracements. They're spiritually sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and what? Pray lest you enter into what? Temptation, which is agreement, which ends up into embracement. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So he was warning them, wasn't he? Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Remember, Jesus died in the garden, not on the cross. He first died in the garden. He had to die to himself. That's why it says he sweat blood. Can you imagine? Because that inner fight was so strong that blood, his body could not take the glory. He began to sweat blood and drip blood. That's where the first blood was shed, was in the garden. Because he had to die to himself first before he could even get on the cross. And verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he did what? He did what? He did what? He left them. Does everybody get it? He did what? He left them. Then he walked away. And he went away again and prayed the third time and saying the same words. Then he came back to his disciples and said, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise and let us go, be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Believe me, your betrayer is around the corner. And you don't want to embrace the wrong thing. Why? Because he will walk away. He never forsakes us. Amen. He's always watching, but he will walk away. He will lift that protection. He will lift his presence. And you'll be trying to fight in the flesh and it ain't going to work. And when he does that, believe me, every demon in hell knows. Every familiar spirit knows. They come and they try to knock, nudge, seduce, agree, and get you to embrace them. And then you know what happens? You begin to manifest their fruits. Everybody okay? 2 Timothy 4. Glory. But first, let's go to Galatians 6. So we're making a holy shift. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Holy shift time. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there? In verse 7. Let's speak it. Don't be what? Don't be what? Deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he's going to reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That is the law of escape, sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. Amen. So what the Lord is trying to do is get us to embrace in truth, so we begin to sow into the Spirit, so it allows open doors for escape. But if you're embracing the wrong thing, what's going to happen? Doors are going to shut. And what you may think is doing wonderful, all of a sudden, will collapse one day. Oh, glory. Jeremiah 17. We're getting to 2 Timothy after this one, okay? God willing. 2 Timothy. Jeremiah. Thank you. Jeremiah. I won't. La, 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 la. Jeremiah 17. Is everybody there? Praise God. I'm working on it. I think you ran to another page. In verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Let's speak it. Thus says the Lord, curses the man who trusts in. Say it again. Curses the man who trusts in. Everyone say, curses the man who trusts in himself. Amen. And makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good is coming. Shall not see when good is coming. In other words, they will miss God every time. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and the salt land which is not inhabited. But blesses the man who trusts in the Lord. Listen, if you say you trust him, then that means you're going to follow him. You're going to hear and do. You're going to submit, so you can resist. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. In other words, his future is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not what? Will not fear. Fear will not move that person. When he comes, how many of y'all know fear is an emotion? Yeah. It's a deadly one. Very, very deadly. And its leaf will be green, and will not be what? Anxious. Anybody know anxious is an emotion? That's what gets people out of time and season, to be anxious. That's why the word says, be anxious for nothing but prayer and supplication. Look at, we were just told that we're to be watching in prayer, right? You know what? That's where you come to the end of yourself. Victory is established in prayer. That's why the first thing the enemy tries to do is prevent you from praying. He tells you, you're too busy. Busy to pray today. You kidding? I got to study. I didn't finish this yesterday. Bummer. I got to get to work on time. I can't get. Well, you're embracing the wrong thing then. You already embraced it. The moment you skip prayer, you've embraced the presence of evil. You can write that down. And fear and anxiousness comes. But he who trusts in the Lord connects himself. Stays connected. No matter what. Doesn't care about work. Doesn't care about finances. Doesn't care about people. Not a man pleaser, but a God pleaser. Stays connected. We're not out to please one another. We're out to please him. Oh, snap. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Whoa, why? Because you're going to see when good comes. Because you're connected. Everyone say, I'm connected. The heart is what? Verse 9. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the thoughts and minds of men, even to give every man according to his ways. In other words, intents. How many of y'all know you're going to be judged by your intention? Your intent. Your motive. What's my intent? What's my motive? In other words, what you're embracing is determining your intent and motive. Even to give to every man according to his fruits, according to the fruit of his doing. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Glory. False embracements. Verse 1. Let's speak it, please. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge. Everyone say judge. The living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's here. It's now. It's happening. What I saw on TV was terrible. These people are being led astray. Thousands of them. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own what? Desires. Why? Because they've embraced it. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They're going to look for someone who's going to believe the same way they do. Why? Because they've embraced the presence of evil. And they'll look for those who promote evil. Even though, look at, the Bible says Satan comes as an angel of light, and he even has righteous ministers. They are behind pulpits, preaching emotionalism, preaching false love of God, preaching all of this foolishness, soulish preaching. Never what God's judgment is. How about depart from sin? How about get out of relationships that are not ordained by the Lord? How about stop drinking? How about stop pornography? How about stopping all these practices of sin, lying and cheating, people that are embracing the presence of evil? How about not your will, but his will? Hallelujah. So they heap up teachers. They're looking for places they can go to that's going to fulfill their soulish arena. Once saved, always saved. Lie from hell. Go ahead and serve the. Go ahead and fornicate, do all of these things. You can do whatever you want to do and expect to go home. Wrong. God is just. He's just and righteous. Amen. Verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the what? Truth. Why? It brings conviction. And be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful. Be what? Watchful. Where? All the time. In prayer, out of prayer. But you got to start off in prayer, because if you don't start off in prayer, how can you do it out of prayer? Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. In other words, be a light and an example. Fulfill your ministry. Everybody see that? Itching ears. Agreements to embracements. Emotional tattooing. Branding. Scarring. And brings all of these bring disconnect. Everyone say disconnect. And a couple of things I want to share with you quickly. There are six things I want to share with you to bring disconnect, what disconnect brings. I believe right now, because there's a cloud of glory and a cloud of judgment, that we are entering a season of plenty, because there's going to be seasons of famine. He is preparing his body to load up the storehouses. He is preparing his body, all the storehouses, to be filled, because then it's going to collapse and we will be a light in the dark. I believe that revival is coming. We're actually in it already. That's why judgment is usually in revival. When there's a cloud of glory, there's a cloud of judgment. That means revival. Amen. Does everybody understand that? Why? Its purpose is to turn the hearts of men or expose them. It's to what? Turn the hearts of men or what? Expose them. That's revival. So in this, we are in this time where I really believe, because a cloud of glory and a cloud of judgment is here, that we are actually in revival. And God, it's a time of plenty. God is getting ready to do. Why? Is he trying to get his people positioned so that plenty can come, and so storehouses can be filled, and so the kingdom can expand in that arena, where more Bibles can go into jails and so forth. And when things begin to get famine, when the financial arena collapses, because you know it's got to collapse. It has to collapse. You can't go on with over $20 trillion in debt. That's just now. But what's promised for the escalation of time is $200 trillion, which is impossible to fulfill. That's what they're promising. That's the long-term part. $200 trillion will be the debt that's owed, because you have Social Security, got all of these other things. But right now we're $20 trillion, but the escalation is $200 trillion. It's impossible to fulfill. So the economy must collapse, and that's where the one world order will come in and change the money. You know, people don't even realize that in multiple years it's been done already, where they've taken people's IRAs or whatever they are, retirements. They've taken them for the good of the government. See, the government doesn't want to collapse. They'll take from their people. People lose their retirement. They lose everything. And this has happened multiple times in this country. Even in 2013, it happened. They begin to take money from there. That's going to come. But God is preparing his people. Amen? He tells us things to come. And in this collapse, it will give the opportunity for the one world order and Luciferian agenda to come in and begin to place their money. Do you know that at one time, $1 bill was only worth a penny in this country? A loaf of bread was $27 when the economy fell in the 30s. Can you imagine buying a loaf of bread for $27? You don't think that can happen again? It's going to happen again. And when that happens, the one world order will come in. Why? Why do you think they got all these government programs? To get people dependent on the government and then seal them with their mark. Because you will not be able to buy or sell without the seal of the mark. So we better be careful what we're embracing right now. Amen? But I really believe God prepares his people. He's a dad who cares. Amen? And we're in that cloud of glory, and that cloud of judgment is here now. Judgment is in the house of God. It's happening. Okay, what disconnect brings? The first thing it brings is distraction. Everyone say distraction. Disconnect brings distraction. When you are disconnected, you are distracted. What are you distracted to? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That's about you. The second thing it brings is deception. So there's distraction, then there's deception. And deception is a lie from the enemy. Amen? That lie from the enemy, what is he trying to do? He's knocking, nudging, so there's an embrace. The third thing that disconnect brings is disorder. God is not first anymore. Oh, they may say God is first, but he really isn't. God knows the intent of the heart. The fourth thing it brings is delusion. False hope, false dreams, and false visions. And there's a disconnect. False hope, false dreams, and false visions. The fifth thing, a disconnect, and this is disconnect from God, amen? What it brings is disrespect. It's called rebellion. Rebellion to God's order and authority. And the sixth thing it brings is destruction. In other words, the will of man. Because the will of man is death. And what that does is that person loses their identity. Destruction always comes by the will of man, where a person loses their identity in Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, has everybody got that? Distraction, deception, disorder, delusion, disrespect, and destruction. Six disconnects. And it all ends up into loss of identity, doesn't it? Colossians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1, please. Let's speak it. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your thoughts on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, if you died. Amen? That means denying yourself. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also, you yourselves, once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to what? Put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We are hidden in Christ, amen, if you have denied yourself. Now, what happens with identity loss? Identity loss. In identity loss, there's a couple of things I want to talk about, because identity loss has fruits of it. There's fruits of these identity loss. What begins to happen, some people never had their identity in Christ, first of all. Amen. But when we lose our identity, we no longer are in Christ. Everybody got it? When you lose your identity, you are no longer in Christ. The only identity that people have then, when you lose your identity in Christ, the only identity they have is with themselves, not Christ. They identify with multiple things: their beauty and their handsomeness, how they look, how they dress, their talents and abilities. Come on, write them down. What happens when identifies? So in other words, when you lose the identity in Christ, these are things that they identify with: their looks, their beauty, and their handsomeness, their talents and abilities, their finances and their materialism, their accomplishments and completions, intellect and knowledge. They identify themselves with their own soulish feelings. In other words, not with the presence of God anymore. They're not identifying themselves with the presence of God. They're identifying themselves with their own presence. Christ is no longer the first identity. Amen? They identify themselves with their cultures, families, and friends. Culture, family, and friends. They identify themselves with their businesses, sports, ministries, or jobs. False identities. Many of them identify themselves with their organizations or religions, denominations. Again, it's time to expose false embracements, cut loose and enter the embracing of his presence, truth, and will. Because these things are happening strongly right now. Strongly. The word tells us that in the end time, things will get harder. Amen? Because more wicked is being released. And it's being released because mankind's drawn it out of hell. Because the enticements, there's enticing, there's all this drawing, there's false embracements that people are embracing. They're putting stuff on TV, which is incredible to me. Let's find out what the Kardashians are doing. Who the heck gives a fruit? No, but a demonic family anyways. One day they're a man, one day they're a woman. And that's all they do is lustafarians. They fulfill the Luciferian contract. But people are embracing these programs, embracing them. And there's a manifestation of their embracements. You will manifest everything you embrace. Amen? That's what we call fruits. Start sort of knocking a nudge. An agreement, and then an embrace. And to cut those things loose and kill them and burn them. Why? Because you'll be scarred if you don't. And it will always bother you. You can never cut it loose. Until you come to that place in the Lord, remember, how do you maintain this in the arena of Christ? How do you overcome? Prayer. Prayer. Don't let the enemy knock, nudge, that you don't pray. Two things we seek. Are you ready? Two things we seek. You seek the king and you pursue your enemy. You seek the king and you pursue your enemy. So there's two things you pursue. You pursue the king and you pursue your enemy. Because without pursuing the king first, you ain't going to see your enemy. Amen? That's why we are called soldiers and warriors. This is a time to stand up and fight. God is looking for those who are upright, willing to die for his cause and not our own. Because we will all give account no matter what. In fact, we give account every day, even though we don't know it. But we do, to those who do know it. There's an account every day. Amen. It's called the Book of Remembrance. Yeah. Praise God. Father, we are honored and blessed. We thank you for your word and morning today. Thank you. Lord, any area that we are in false, that's false embracements in our lives, Lord, we ask that you expose them and give us this truth. Give us the power. Give us the light and the glory of your presence to destroy these. Lord, we ask that you would burn all of our false embracements with the fire of God today, that we may be cut loose from every area. I pray this for everyone in this room, myself, and those hearing and watching. Lord, let the fire of your presence burn every false embracement and bring healing to every scar. Remove those emotional tattoos and brands, that the only thing we are branded with is your seal. Let your name be glorified upon these temples, that your name would not only be glorified, but your presence would be exalted, and your word would come forth as your kingdom is manifested in us and through us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.